And I want to welcome you. If you're visiting with us this morning, I did see a few unfamiliar faces, so just want to say a big welcome to you. If you're brave enough, raise your hand. If you are visiting for the first time, morning, hi, welcome to you. If you are a few folk, and you'll notice on my right-hand side, there are these orange couches where it says visitors. You're welcome to go mingle there, and in faith, I believe someone will bring you a cappuccino. And if it's your second visit, that's also okay. If it's your third visit, you have to pay for the cappuccino. Just kidding. Seriously, you're welcome to come and say hi if you'd like to. If you can't stay, you're welcome anyway. And then you will have noticed the communion during the service. People just come up and help themselves. And that's just part of our worship, to pray for one another, to have communion. And then once a month, of course, we all do it together as the body. So, all good. Did you get your notices? When you walked in, you'll see that on the back of the notices, there's a the promoting of the business's missions theme that we want to fulfill this year. And Steve Pilbro, there's Steve. Stand, Steve, so we know who you are, is going to be meeting here on the 4th of February, Saturday morning, with a group of folk who are wanting to know more about that. But it's explained on the back of the notices. If you don't know, you can pick one up at the back on your way out. That same morning, there's the boot sale. So it's going to be a lot of fun here at the church. And lots happening. Also, the leaders are meeting on the 11th. All the life group leaders, not the 4th, but the 11th of February here at the church. If you can't make it, please send someone in your place. And then just to mention that we believe in prayer in this church. Yes, prayer doesn't change what God's already purposed. Jesus has accomplished everything for you that God purposed. But it is effected when we stand in agreement with it. And this week we prayed for you. We prayed for you, and just as proof that we prayed for you, I thought I should let you know. This group of guys will meet on a Wednesday morning here at the church, prayed for the families and the people of this church. Amen. So let's thank them for them praying for us. All right. And you're welcome to join us on a Wednesday morning. So that's great. You'll also have noticed when you came in, there's the notice, the new notice board on the side there. And it's, if you have a look, you'll see the events that are taking place behind the scenes. Because a lot of people don't know what's going on behind the scenes. They hear a notice up front here that there's a conference or an outreach, but there's no follow, not often space to follow up on that. So that board is our information board, and we hope it carries a lot of the information to pass back of what's going on. And the life groups that meet, the different ministries, are all represented there. Good. Can we ask those taking up the offering if they would please come forward as we thank God for his ongoing provision in this house. We are taking a group of leaders away this afternoon and tonight and tomorrow morning. We're going to be away discussing and praying and trying to hear from God in terms of the local church. So pray for us. We want to see a great unity and a great effectiveness through that leadership team. So that's happening this afternoon. I'll appreciate and tomorrow. So we appreciate your prayers. And then we appreciate your ongoing support. 2016, we paid all our bills in this church. Isn't that a good thing? It's a good thing to be able to pay all your bills. And we've knocked a huge dent in our bond. And it's been the faithfulness of those throughout the past several years that have been behind the ongoing ministry of this church. And if you're new in the life of this church, all you have to do is ask the Father how he wants you to be part of that. And there's something about where your treasure is, your heart is. Something about giving, which represents your time, your talent, your effort, that is connected to where your heart is. And it's a good thing to be generous and to give with a cheerful heart. Amen. So maybe we can stand up together. I'm going to ask the ushers to go out. And can you agree with me in this prayer? Father, we want to stand in agreement, as we did on Wednesday morning, for every family in this church Where there are financial challenges, we pray for supernatural breakthrough. We pray, Lord, there will be a reaping and a harvest in many lives and families of this church, that there'll be checks in the post, that contracts will find their way to the top of the pile, that new businesses will open up and new opportunities. People will have creative ideas and creative strategies. And out of this church, there will be many that will be surprised as they look back, Lord. But at the beginning of this year, we say, Lord of the harvest, Lord, we bring in every area of our life joy, peace, happiness, provision, and every other need that you said you would meet according to your riches in glory. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can greet someone around you that you haven't had an opportunity to say good morning to. Praise God. Well, it's about 340 days to Christmas. So I don't know if you've started shopping or looking around. It's a good time to go to the second-hand shops now, because all the gifts you bought people they didn't like, you can rebuy them. Yeah, well, the year has kicked off with a frenzied start. Kids are back at school. Kids, all back at school. Parents are breathing a sigh of relief. And as I've come into this year and thought about where's God taking us for 2017, kind of right from Christmas morning, I felt the strong prophetic sense that God impressed on me, that many of us are facing a season that sometimes we feel trapped in. And this importance of knowing what season of my life I'm in. Because our lives are, there's different eras and epochs and stages, if you like. And the seasons of the planet give us some insight into that. You know, it's no use dressing up in winter woolies in the middle of summer. You've got to know what season you're in your personal life. You've got to be able to adapt with the season and all those kind of things. And sometimes the season we're in is no fault of our own. It's political, economic. Sometimes it's the wrong decision someone else made. And there are these seasons in our life. And there's moves of God across the planet that are sovereign. In the early 90s, there was a move of the Spirit that was sovereign. And as churches, you didn't want to miss it. We wanted to put up our sails and be right in the center of God's season. So we've come into this year looking at that for many of you, you in some season of life, good, bad, challenging, whatever. And from the beginning of this year, we started prophetically announcing a few things. Like, for instance, make sure you've got Jesus in your boat, whatever season you're going through, if you want to stay afloat. Not the Jesus of the past, the historic Jesus, or the Jesus that you think, you know, when he's going to come back again, but Jesus now. Jesus now, in the moment, present, Jesus now, in my boat, with me, whatever season you're going through right now. Not only is it good to have Jesus in your boat through the storm, but you'll never have someone in your boat who loves you more than Jesus and knows his plans and purposes and can calm the storm because he loves you. Secondly, a prophetic word came that in our seasons, we mustn't stop dreaming. Keep your dreams alive. And if some dreams have died, well then let them die a peaceful death. But there's new dreams because the Holy Spirit is in the business of giving dreams. Never stop dreaming. And then of course, the prophetic word that came on joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In your season, there's a river inside of you. Whether you're locked in a season, whether you're transcending a season, whatever, there's a joy of the Lord that's your strength. You need strength for the season you're in right now. And the Bible says that strength comes from his joy. It's his joy inside me that is my strength. That joy is not happiness because my car didn't get stolen. My joy is in spite of the circumstances, because it's not my joy, it's the joy of the Lord. It's His joy. You see, there's a difference here. Because if my car does get stolen, the way I view that is going to determine how I think about God. If I've got a picture that it's God punishing me, then my joy can't be last long. If my picture of God is, He's just a bit miffed with me and He let this happen, you know, He didn't do it, but He let it happen to teach me a lesson, then I've got a certain view of God which can thwart my joy. But when I know that that God is for me and not against me in every situation. He's looking over me. Even when you're unfaithful, the Bible says He is still faithful because He can't deny Himself. When you got that view of God, your well of joy can overflow. And then, of course, we heard so well last week, if you were here last week, Janet shared on the importance of hope. It's the last thing that dies before people die is hope. And hope defined as the confident, positive expectation of what God is going to do in every situation in my life. That's hope. Hope is different to faith, right? Hope has a positive expectation of what God is going to do so that when I see that, faith kicks into place. Like wind fills the sails of a mast of hope. And when I wreck that mast of hope, positively expecting, man, God's going to come through for my kids. God's going to come through for my marriage. God's going to come through for the church. God's going to come through for the city. I am positively, expectantly believing good from God's hand for my situation. That's hope. And when we hope, faith kicks into place. So in your season right now, in the season of life that you're in, I have to ask you, have you included Jesus as now in your boat, the one who loves you? Is your picture of Him as the one who's for you and not against you? Are you still daring to dream big dreams? Are you saying, God, fill my heart with hope? Because where hope dies, everything dies. But against hope, Abraham believed, and in so doing became the father of many nations. Because if faith is the substance of the hope that we have, you're in a season. You know, and I know. And I look around the church, and sometimes it grips me. There's an anxiety that comes as I look. And I know some of the seasons that people are going through in their marriage. And it's just like, it's like going through nappies with your baby. You just got to get through this season. And then when it's time to change, make the change. Wash your hands, and don't let the baby be 16 before you make the change. Because when the nappies need changing, they need changing. We all are continually moving from glory to glory. Joy. Joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Terry, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Steve, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Bernard, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Russ. Russell Harris is in America, in England right now. We declare over him, the joy of the Lord is his strength. So, what am I going to say this morning? In this last hour I've got. Seasons may come and go, but our foundation is never changing. And that foundation, my friend, is the Bible. It's the Word of God. In there is a Bible, believe it or not. I know it's a small one, but lethal are those little daggers. But God's Word is our foundation. The Bible is coming under attack like I can't remember. secular humanism, trying to pull it down and make it just an arbitrary, you know, folklore manuscript. But within the church itself, there's a war against the Bible. And we believe that God knew that after three generations, his group of his church, his people, his body, would need something in place that would solidify and anchor what they believe corporately. And through the writings, the inspired writings of the apostolic men that he chose, as those documents were gathered and brought together, they became the foundation of the church. And they are foundational to everything we believe about God's plan in salvation. And that's why we honor the Word of God. We honor the Bible. We have not, as some suppose, you know, moved on from the Bible. Neither do we worship the Bible as a book you leave open to ward off evil spirits. You don't turn and do Russian Bible roulette and put your finger there and, you know, read what it says. We understand we have to interpret the scripture within the covenant framework. We have to go to the scripture, understanding who was talking to who, and do good Bible interpretation. It's not just a myth, over-spiritualize the written paper. But in those teachings, in the progressive revelation from Genesis to Revelations, that theme of the coming Messiah that was explained in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but then just deeply revealed by the apostolic writings of Paul, who even came in after Peter, John, and James, gives a framework to understand. And what happened? Let me give you a little bit of history. Anybody like history? In the early church, for the first 100 years, it was great. They had the word of the apostles themselves that they went and spoke orally, transmitting the message. And there was great persecution from outside. Nero, the emperor, had thousands and hundreds of thousands of Christians martyred. But by about 300, things had settled down a little bit in the church. And they had gathered the writings of the apostolic fathers. They had the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They had the writings of Paul to the various churches, Ephesus, Thessalonians, Galatia. And they sat down, and a new threat came into the church. And that was that the deity of Jesus was being opposed. The wholeness of the Trinity was being undermined. The work of the Holy Spirit was being relegated to just like a force. The person of the Holy Spirit was being neglected. And the church fathers, these were the third generation guys. Not the Matthew, Marks, and Lukes. Not the next lot of guys, Polycarps and Tertullians, but the next lot of guys. When they were a little bit older and they realized the church needed to know what they believed, they sat down at the Nicene Creed and they wrote what is the creed. And what they try to do is distill from the scripture the central truths that don't change, that are foundational, that are an anchor. And those scriptures were distilled, and out of them came this beautiful declaration that they called the creed. And because of the literacy of the day, the creed was put into chanting so people would remember it. And they would sing the creed. And that gave birth to the Middle Ages hymns, which were the declaration of the truths of God's word because of a high literacy rate. And I thank God for a high literacy rate today. But in the same way, we've lost making some of those declarations about our faith that built into the church the foundation. Are you with me? In your season, you have an anchor. In your season, you have something to believe. And as a Christian, you are called a believer, which means you believe something. There's something you believe. You're a believer. Say, I'm a believer. I'm a believer. You're a believer. There's something you believe. And as the late great poet Rick Mullins said, who died tragically young, Christian, great Christian philosopher, he said about the Bible, I did not make it. It is making me. It's the very truth of God and not the invention of any man. Don't let anyone tell you that the Bible is just a book to be considered as a myth, as a folklore, as an add-on. Don't let anyone ridicule, because God breathed through apostolic writings what we call our Bible today. And it is making us. We are not making it. You are a believer. In the midst of your storm, in the midst of your season, whatever you're going through, there is an anchor that you have. I believe some things, and I believe we believe those things. We believe that God showed himself as the creator, as the father of the universe. And through the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ was begotten. Born of a virgin. I mean, just think of that. A woman goes to have a baby and she's still a virgin. I believe that. We believe Jesus was conceived of a virgin. We believe that he suffered like a human being and crucified. He descended into darkness, not only the darkness of this world to start with, but the darkness of Hades itself, took the keys of death and hell, and rose victorious with the keys of life and death. That's what we believe. We believe that we're part of the church, his body, his people, who reign together with him on earth. We believe that our sins have been forgiven through the blood of the atonement. We believe that he's going to come again soon. And when he does, we are going to rise again into new life for eternity. There are some things that we believe. I wonder if you'd stand up with me. There's a song that's been going through my heart these last few days. Dave Walker, I hope you got my instruments working. Calling Dave up to sing, but seriously, there's the early church began to declare and sing out their belief of doctrine, and in doing that they reinforced it into their lives. So this morning, this song we're going to declare isn't, it's the creed. It's not so much a song of a ministry song, but it's a song of declaration. It's a song about I believe
in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. 'Cause I believe in the name of Jesus. Our Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty. Through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. Our judge and our defender, suffered and crucified. Forgiveness sits in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light. Forever seated high. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Our Father everlasting, your created one, God Almighty, through your Holy Spirit conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior, to glorify when you just crucified. Forgiveness is in.
You descended into darkness.
Descended into darkness. You rose in glorious light. Forever seated high.
Yes, Lord.
I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Yes, we believe this morning, Lord.
And I believe in you. I believe rose again. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord.
I believe.
And I believe in you. I believe. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord.
As long as this morning all unbelief goes, all doubt goes, because I believe
in you. I believe you rose again. I believe that Jesus. I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in his holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son, yeah. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name.
I believe in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. This is what I believe. I believe. I believe. Yes, Lord.
that Jesus Christ is Lord.
One more time, let's sing, I believe in life eternal.
I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in the Holy Church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. Oh, I believe in the name of Jesus. We believe, Lord, we believe, we believe, Lord. Shall I?
Just as we continue worshiping this morning, just allow the truth of God just to sink in and penetrate. It's your foundation. It's your foundation. It's our foundation. It's what makes us believers. It's what makes us believers. Lord, I pray that these words will ring in our hearts and ring in our minds. That we know who we believe. Right now, there was a prophetic word earlier this morning about molds attaching around people, and as they fell over, those molds were broken. That falling over is like an act of humility. And if that's you this morning, you feel you've just been locked in by some molds. The season you're in, this what you're going through, this stage, this situation has become a mold that's locked you. This morning, some molds are going to break. God confirms His word with signs following. And we've just declared His word, and now you're going to experience a sign. Come right now. If that's you and you're saying, I want this mold broken off my life, just come stand in the front chair. In a moment, we're going to lay hands on people, and we're going to actually ask the Holy Spirit to come and break open those molds. That's right. Just come stand quite far forward. As you do, just come stand towards the front. Some of the leaders are going to come and just stand behind these folk.
I wasn't aware that we were going to be coming back to the mold thing, but honestly, when the word was brought, it really began to speak to me. The first thing is that it was spoken of molds of depression and pain and that, but I also felt like there are so many other molds on us as Christians and as believers and as people. And those are religious molds, things that are expected of us as a Christian. If things have been put on you as a Christian, that this is what you need to do in order to be loved by God, I believe God wants to break that mold today. Then there are also molds that I saw that were put on us by our parents, our peers, our teachers, people that are in authority, of ways that we are meant to be in order to be acceptable to society. And I saw those molds falling off people as well today, because God is just saying, I want you for who you are, the way I created you to be, with your gifts. And then I was also just reminded, as Stephen was calling it up, like where the wheat and the tare grew up together. You know that scripture where God, the farmer goes out and he scatters these seeds and they begin to grow up, and then the devil comes and he basically puts weeds in, and those are the tares, and they grow up together. And in the week, Donna was busy doing a story for the children, and do you know that when wheat and tares are full grown, that the wheat begins to bow over and the tares continue to stand up dead straight, the weeds stand dead straight. And as you know, as we were just chatting about it, we just chatted like how the wheat, those are the seeds that have God has sown. Go in humility. And it's really humbling to say, God, I'm needing you to break something off of me. But God is saying, come, because I can do it for you. Humble yourself under my mighty hand so that I can lift you up. Humble yourself, because I want you to be everything I want you to be. Don't be proud. Don't stand there and say, I know everything about religion. I know everything about life and how to act and behave. If you're feeling that burden in life, that you're carrying something around on you, God is saying to you today, I want to break that off of you. I want to break that off of you. That burden was never been meant to be yours to carry around.
So if there's anybody else who just wants to come and stand up here, you're welcome to come. I feel Janet's word was for those standing here now. And there's one or two others who are just saying, man, I can't. There's this mold over me. Just come right now. Because this is what church is all about. This is the church doing business here this morning. This is what it's about. We preach the word, the truth of the gospel, and then signs follow. Those signs are proportional to what your need is. Whatever your need is, whatever mold it is, for example, the sign is that mold is going to get broken off you. So to the rest of the church, can you just reach out your hands as if this was your mother, your father, your friend, your sister, your brother? And just reach out and let's just trust now, Holy Spirit, right now, just as hands are being laid on you. There's a lady over here, Nita, these two ladies, just thanks, this folk here. Just as hands are being laid, just gently lay your hands on their shoulders. There's an impartation, I believe, that takes place. I need one more guy standing over here behind. Maybe Bill. Bill, can you come stand here? Oh, thanks. Yes, amen. Lord, we just love these wonderful family members of ours as they stand up here looking to you, the breaker of the yoke, the breaker of the mold. And Lord, we do this morning because we believe something. We believe that this gospel is not just words, but it's got power in it. That this gospel is not just about mental declaration, but about spirit declaration that breaks open the yoke, breaks the chains, and sets the prisoner free. So right now, Lord, we want to stand in agreement as a church by reaching out our hands, by saying, this far and no further. This bondage is broken today, and the sign that you will have is a release from this in your life. A release from fear, a release from intimidation, a release of bad self-image, a release of timidity, a release of mental fatigue, a release of unfulfilled expectations, a release of the lies that have been spoken over you right now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we declare every chain broken, every prison open, because we believe something today, Lord. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world and the one who breaks open the prison doors. Thank you, Lord, right now. Just receive it. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry. We've still got a bit of time. Don't be in a hurry. Just where you're standing now, just begin to say, restore my joy, Lord. Restore my joy. Restore my joy. Where my view of you has been just distorted, restore my joy. Restore my joy. I put up my mast. I put up my mast of hope this morning because I'm positively, expectantly believing for the good of God to break in, to break in, to break in. Maybe we can all just stand right now as we just raise our hands and say, Lord, that's true for me too. I need the joy to flow deep within my soul. I need my mind to be transformed. And I say to this season, maybe will you repeat these words after me? I say to whatever season I'm in, you are temporary and only God is eternal. I say to every season I'm in, you are only temporary and God is eternal. He gets to have the last word in my life. He's in my boat and he loves me and no storm is greater than him. Come on, church. If you believe that this morning, let's give the Lord a praise. Let's stand with these folk in front and say, every chain is broken. Every fear is released. Every stronghold is gone this morning in the name of Jesus. You got something you want to flow with prophetically? A song? Just go with it. Go with it. Go with it. Go with it. it. Praise you, Lord. 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 Did you enjoy declaring this morning what you believe? Did you enjoy hearing the words come out of your mouth? That we believe that Father is the creator of all things. And that through His Holy Spirit, He gave us Jesus, who loves us, who died, buried, and who's seated on high, soon to come again for His church that He blood bought. Oh, worship, 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 worship. We believe, we believe. We believe, we believe, Lord. You are for us and not against us. You are able to turn all things together for good. Right now, I'm talking to people. I still got a few minutes of your time, so I'm not letting you go. Because I want to prophesy right now that God is better than you ever imagined. And He's going to show Himself soon. When things that were pushed down are going to come to the surface. And people said, that's too old, leave it alone. Put it under the counter. He says, it's going to come to the top. Watch and see if He cannot do it. What man says is impossible is possible for Him. No, you're not too old. You're not too old. You're just the right age for what He wants for you right now. I sat and watched the inauguration of the president with his cabinet, mostly in their 70s. Mostly in their 70s. But somehow we think when we get to 70, it's retirement. We think when we're 70, we're done with. But the greatest leaders in the world are in their 70s. Bright minds, bright speakers, strong leaders. Come on, church. We need those in their 70s to rise up and say, I'm not done yet. I'm going on. I'm going forward. No, you're not too old. Stop it, man. Stop it. I'm too old. It's time to buy a caravan and retire. Stop it. Your greatest days are here now. They're not ahead of you. They were always ahead of you. They are here right now. It's not one day. It's this day. It's today. Many of you have come through revivals. You were there in the early 80s. You were there in the 90s. You saw things come and go. Maybe your heart got a bit cynical and a bit skeptical. But the Lord says, the glory of the latter house is going to supersede the glory of the first house. What we've seen is nothing in comparison to what He's promised to do in the last days. Because we are in the last days, but there's a last day of the last days. And God promised, in that day, I'm going to restore the tents of David. I am going to build my house glory greater than the glory of the former house. And I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. All flesh. There will be a mighty, mighty river. Don't become cynical. Stop it. Stop being cynical. Stop being critical if someone falls down or jumps around. Stop it. You're going to limit yourself. Just be thankful. Just be thankful and leave the results to God. Leave the results to God. Come on, some of you need some fire in your soul. Some of you need some fire in your belly to burst up and say, I'm not going to be the same this year. I'm not going to be the same in 2017. I don't care what season I'm going through. My season does not define me because God's got more for me. And I'm going to walk in the joy of the Lord. And I'm going to walk with great hope and expectancy. And I'm going to walk knowing what I believe in such a time as this. So come on, one last time, church. Let's raise our hands and just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for such a time as this. For such a time as this. For such a day as this, Lord, you've raised us up. Better is one day, and it's this day. It's not another day. It's today. It's this day. It's now. Come on, church. Yes, Lord, today. Today is the day that I'm in your courts. Today is the day I'm in your presence. And today is a day of victory and breakthrough. And all God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Next week, Gary De Wit, who I'm very sad, is going to be going to Cape Town in a few months. He's going to be sharing a word in your season about perseverance. That's a good one. And then I'll be back to share the following week. But I believe as you build these truths into your life through the season we're in and going through, you're going to break out. Out of the old, say out of the old, and into the new. Amen. God bless you. May God keep you. And may God make His face shine upon you as you go into this week. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.